Yes, I could have, and I would have. Spider-Man, Spider-Man does whatever a spider can, spins a web. Sorry. All right. I was a big Spider-Man freak as a little boy. All right. Without raising your hands, how many of you are tired of where you're at right now? Maybe you're just battling something. Maybe you've got something on you. Maybe you're carrying something that you're ready to let go of. You're just been battling too long. You're like, you know, I need to let go of it. We keep waiting for that magical moment for it to happen. And I want to talk about how Jesus has already caused it to happen if we will trust what he has done for us. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 4. You don't have to stay where you're at. Luke 4, beginning with verse 16. Jesus returned, he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Now we'll break this down as we go. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is not talking about the poor in money. It's not talking about the financially poor. He's talking that I'm anointed to preach to those who are needy in spirit, who are bankrupt inside, who are empty and have a need to be filled, who are lost without any hope, who is searching in all the wrong places and finding all the wrong answers. That's what I came to preach. That there's something I can give you the world can never give you. Something I can fill you with the world can never fill you with. And if you've been in the world very much, you understand the world doesn't have a whole lot to offer. But heartbreak, disappointments, stress, tragedy, letdown after letdown, and you find yourself still very incomplete. This is why we have a generation so seeking in all the wrong places, because they're desperate and they don't know what they're desperate for. They're trying to find satisfaction through alcohol, through sex, through drugs, through partying, through relationships, whatever it is that we're trying to find our satisfaction. And we find out all those things wear off. All those things end its cycle. And you're left still with the same problem and the same issue. Let's put it this way. You cut your finger, starts to bleed, you got a bad cut. Most of the time we're going to go get a Band-Aid, wipe up, put a Band-Aid on it, right? The Band-Aid covers the cut, but the cut's still there. The cut didn't just magically go away. You're still a cut individual, but it's covered with a Band-Aid. What sin does, it covers up and it tries to appear that it fixes our problem, but it only masks the real problem. The problem still exists. We can't drown ourselves away in the world and expect us to feel complete and right. Jesus came to preach the gospel, which the word gospel means good news, and we need good news. And the good news is this, that this Jesus we're talking about came to pay the price for the penalty of sin for your lives, and that there's no other work that needs to be accomplished. We talked about that Wednesday night, how we got to stop trying to work and just rest in the work that's already been done for us. Rest in that. Just rest and enjoy the fruits of the labor that Christ paid for you. Enjoy it. Quit trying to pay back God for something we can never pay him back for. Enjoy what he has given us. That is eternal life. And rest in that, hope in that, rejoice in that, live in that, and be set free. Because Jesus came to set you free. Yes, we have weaknesses, and yes, we'll always battle. Don't let nobody, and I get so frustrated with this, don't let no religious person tell you, if you are right with God, you be doing this and you be doing this. Understand, we are going to battle all of our lives because we are in the flesh. And that flesh is always going to try to pull us away. It's a constant battle. There's nobody that can say, I have arrived. I no longer have any issues with the flesh. Nothing. I have no weaknesses, Pastor. I've arrived. I've got constraint. I've got control. I can do this. We all have something we have no control over. Amen. Yes. I love God's time in this place. It's always so incredible. Melanie had an incident of road rage a couple days ago, and it was bad. A woman almost killed her. Literally, it was pulled out right in front of her on 115, pulled out in front of her, and Melon's going full speed and had to go around her. If another car had been coming, I don't know what she would have done. But anyway, Melon's a pretty godly woman, humble, servant of God. Huh? Here's this Holy Ghost-filled, sanctified child of God who's battling the flesh. I mean, she about had to, you know, about had to go bail her out. I mean, this is how close she came. Ashley still needs a mother, honey, okay? Just let you know. So that flesh got in the way. We you know, she tapped her brakes a few times on her and tried to get, I mean, you know, she called me. I mean, she was, I mean, she was engulfed with just, whoo, this woman. I mean, she almost got the point. She said, I want to park the car, get out, and beat her down the ground. I mean, so this is how our flesh, things happen. So none of us can say, you know what, I've arrived, I'm above that, I'm beyond that. No, we're not. That's why Jesus came. That's why Melanie's still saved in her rage, in her communicating threats to bodily harm, in her stalking and eye looking and head shaking and chest thumping. All of that, she did all that, but all of that, she's saved. Hallelujah. She's saved. She's still sanctified as she was before, because sanctification and glorification has nothing to do with how we behave. It has to do everything with what Jesus did. That's what sanctifies us, church. Rest in that and live in that, and then you'll live free, and you won't let every little lie of the devil pull us down. Man, we are so elevated with our spiritual walk, and the devil tells us one lie, and what happens? We're back in that, I'm just a worm, I'm just a nothing, and how could God possibly love? You know, when we say things like that, we're discrediting the love he showed us with the blood he shed for us. God does love you. That's why he died for you. He does love you. That's why he shed his blood for you. He knew everything we would do after he died, yet he died for the ungodly, that we might be saved, that we might be set free from what binds us. So Jesus first came to preach the good news. That is the good news to those who needed to hear it. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So many broken hearts. So many broken lives in this generation. So many broken young people in this generation. So many broken homes and families in this generation. And he said, I came to heal that. I can fix your broken heart. I can take care of what's bothering you. I came because I know you are discouraged. You've had hurt. You've had pain. You've had a bad past. You've had things you keep carrying, and you carry it into your adulthood, into your marriage, into your children's lives. You carry that. He said, let me heal that. See, a broken heart's a very powerful thing. A broken heart can't be fixed with a milkshake. A broken heart can't be fixed with a, you know, it's okay, buddy, get over it. God loves you. Yeah. A broken heart takes a deep surgical healing. A broken heart takes more than anything the flesh can give us. Because when we have a broken heart, it controls us. It overtakes us. It's all we concentrate on. And he says, I came to heal that broken heart. Yes, we've all got a past. Yes, we've all got things we wish we could do over. And I know there's some of you that you can't even think about your past because it torments you when you take time. And that's why many people keep filling their future with wrong things, trying to mask and cover their past. And they keep making more of a past because they can't let Jesus heal them of that. And say, you know what? I'm not judging you for your past. That's in the past. I'm not judging you for that. That's why I died, so that you wouldn't be judged for that. I took on that judgment, that you would be forgiven. And a broken heart's not a good thing to carry around, and it causes problems in every walk of our lives. It affects our family, affects our mind, it affects everything. He said, I came to heal that. I came to fix that. Let me fix your broken heart. I can make it right. Then he says, I came to preach deliverance to the captives. Now let's talk about this captivity. What are we captive by? All of us have something that can captivate us. Maybe you're bound by fear. You're bound by anxiety. You're bound by discouragement. You're bound by condemnation. You're bound by something that we carry. He says, I came to set you free. Don't let anything hold you in bondage when I have set you free. He, Jesus alone, the one, the Lamb of God, has forever set us free by the sacrifice he made. Let's live like we're free and not be bound no more by what we're allowing us to to be bound by. So many Christians don't have any joy. So many Christians. I'm talking to myself because, see, the cares of life can mount on us. You know, they can mount on us. And we can let our kids can, you know, can be a burden to us sometimes. Our marriages can become a burden to us. Our jobs and financial issues can become a burden to us. Our sickness can become a burden to us. There's many things that become a burden in our lives if we allow it to. But Jesus came to remove the burden. Jesus came to change that. He wants you set free. He doesn't want you carrying and living, holding that bondage anymore. We were not meant to live in bondage. We weren't meant to be slaves to sin. We were made to be servants to righteousness. That's what he came to do, that we could be victorious. So live with joy again. I mean, Christians ought to be the, we ought to be the, I mean, I'm not talking about we ought to be zombies going around. I understand we all got issues. I don't, you know, believe we should look like, you know, we're, you know, hi, I'm always good. Yes, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Yeah, I just filed for bankruptcy, lost my house. Hallelujah, yay. I understand that, you know, I understand we'll have issues. But man, we ought to have some joy. We know where we are going to end up. We know that this flesh is going to give way to a glorified body. We know this life's going to give way to a glorified life. We know that sickness and pain and all the issues we have will not always be with us. But there will be a restoration moment, a glory moment, a glory cloud moment that will overshadow us and transfer us from this realm into the next. Man, that ought to make us happy. That I'll never, as Jesus said, I'm never going to die. That's what Jesus said. You believe in me, you'll never taste death. You believe in what I did for you, you've overcome that. You would have tasted death, yes, but not anymore, not because of what I've done, not because of the cross. Believe in what I have done, and you will be set free. Too many Christians bound, too many Christians discouraged, too many Christians oppressed by the enemy, too many Christians medicated to try to stay happy. Whenever Jesus says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where your joy comes from. The joy of the Lord. Allow the joy of God. And I know we're in sometimes a very unjoyous world. A lot of stuff around us we don't like. A lot of stuff happening. A lot of stuff we don't agree with. But guess what? We're in God's kingdom. That's all that matters. We're in God's kingdom. And we always want to know there's always going to be a war between man's kingdom and God's kingdom. It always has been. So trust you're in God's kingdom. Let him heal your broken heart. Let him deliver you today of what you are carrying and leave fear, leave discouragement, leave anxiety, leave condemnation, whatever it is you're carrying, whatever it is you're battling, whatever it is you can't really let go of. You think you're okay, but then you're really not because you still dwell on it all the time or it still attacks your life. You're like, I'm tired of dealing with this. I'm ready to be set free. It's not anything we do. It's what Jesus has already done for us. Walk in that freedom. How many times do we sing these patriotic songs and we pledge allegiance to our flag and we say, oh, we're free because all the men who died for me, right? We're free because, you know, World War II, the greatest generation, and, you know, our flag stands for freedom and all the men and women that died to give us that freedom. And we as Americans, we try to still walk in that freedom. We still try to walk in that democracy because of the lives that were shed before us. Well, the greatest life was shed 2,000 years ago. Let's walk in that same freedom spiritually. If we can believe that men and women of our armed forces died, that we can be a democracy and a free nation, how much more should we believe that Jesus died, that we could be a free people? That we no longer are bound by what the devil tells us. Church, I don't know if you know this. Let me give you a bulletin point here. The devil has been defeated. He's been defeated. I'm not saying he don't still roam and roar. He does. I don't say he still don't get the best of you, because he does. But he has been defeated. And he no longer has the keys to death. He no longer has that card and authority over our soul anymore because Jesus paid the price to gain that authority. He paid the price to get that authority. And now he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords forevermore. And there's no name higher. There's no hand greater. There's no power deeper than the hand of God. He has you, and he wants you to walk in that freedom he gave you. Don't be bound. That's why he came. Too many Christians are bound. Bound. Then he came to give sight to the blind and to set at liberty them which are bruised. This side, of course, we know he healed physically, but he's talking more spiritually here, that we couldn't see the truth before he came. But now that he's come, we can see the truth. We see the truth that I cannot do this on my own. I can't get there on my own. I can't have any joy on my own. I can't have a marriage on my own. I can't be a good father on my own. I can do nothing on my own. Only by the grace of Jesus can I do anything. He came that we may see clearly we need a Savior. You know, the law was never intended for salvation. The law could never save. The law was in place to point a people for the need of a Savior. The need. What if, I mean, think about this. All the rules we give our kids growing up, right? Especially if you got teenagers, you give them all these rules. Can't do that, 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 can't do that. Can't do that. Nope, nope, can I, nope, can I, nope, can I go, nope. Well, can she, nope. You let them, because you know it's not good. You don't let them finish. Hey, listen, I was just wondering, Mom, nope, because the way you're saying it, I know it's not right. The approach you're using, no, it's not going to be good. We give all our kids these rules, right? Look, don't hang around the wrong people. Don't do drugs. Don't drink. Don't steal. Honor authority when you're out in public. Don't drive fast in a car. Wear your seatbelt. Come home a certain time. Don't be late. I mean, we give all these rules raising our kids up of what we want in their lives. Now, think about this. Most of our kids don't keep all those rules. Most of them don't keep any of the rules. But you know what? When they find, that's kind of the law. The law had all these rules, rules, rules. But when our kids know that we love them unconditionally, we don't always approve of what they're doing, but we love them unconditionally, and that nothing they can do can ever change that love. We just can't turn the love button off for our children. I mean, not normally. We can't just turn that love button off. I don't love you anymore. You've hurt me too many times. Yeah, our kids can hurt us. Y'all been hurt by your children, I know. But you still love them. And no matter how much of a knucklehead they are, right, or how bad they seem to be, or how many times you got to go to jail to get them out, you love them. And you just can't change that. That's how God feels about us. He loves us. And when people know God loves us unconditionally, that God's not going to turn the love button off, I mean, just because TJ's a Duke fan, God still loves him. That's amazing. That's the grace of our Jesus and Lord. That he loves us that much. I mean, it's just the love that's so, and if the generation could hear that, you know, people's come to this church before and said, Pastor said, got tattoos on me, should I be up here on the platform singing, or I've got this, or, I've done this, or, I've been married 3 times, or I've done this, or, had a kid out of wedlock, I've done this. Look, I don't make the rules. God loves you. That lies between you and God. And that has no bearing on your soul. None. Who hasn't made a mistake? I mean, I grew up in a generation, older generation, and tattoos wasn't a thing in me and Melon's generation. I mean, the only one had tattoos were the big, bad Harley guys. The ones mama said, watch out for, right? I mean, you know, when I was a kid, 7, 8 years old, and I saw a guy with a tattoo, ooh, he bad. He must be a motorcycle guy. Whole different generation. And we put all these labels on things, and you begin to realize, what marks us is right here in our heart. That's where we're saved. And so I've had people ask me that, and I'm like, okay, don't bother me whatsoever. God doesn't care about that. God cares about, do you believe in him? Do you believe in him? I mean, my God, if that was the case, church, how many people would be doomed to hell? I mean, don't raise no hands in here, but my Lord, a lot of you, if it was about you got tattoo, down button. I'd lose a lot of this crowd this morning. Just leave you check before you go down. I lose a lot of this crowd this morning. I mean, really? My goodness. Having a tattoo or having an earring or having your hair past your collar or having a Duck Dynasty beard, I mean, other than getting food caught in it, don't bother me. I mean, just, I can't grow a beard, so I'm a little jealous of that. I'm told me I might try to grow one sometime, but I don't know. She don't want me to. She likes my clean-shaven look. I never had a beard. I've had a goatee, but not a beard. So I got a bald spot, imagine that, right here where the hair won't grow. So I have to sprinkle something on that or something. Verse 19, I came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, look at how powerful this is. He closed the book. He gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and all the eyes were in the synagogue were on him. And he began to say to them, this is so powerful, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now, he read Isaiah, which was written 600 plus years before Jesus came. And he's telling the congregation, I am he. The one I just read, this verse I just read, the one that's called to preach the gospel to the poor, the one that's anointed by God, the one that's going to heal the brokenhearted, that's me. Today, this verse has been fulfilled in your ears. And of course, you can imagine their reaction. He was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And he did that. He did fulfill that prophecy. And all that's been done has been done. I know there's going to be a millennium kingdom. I understand that. But I'm talking about far as now. There's no more deeper revelation. There's no, you know, I need a sign. I need a wonder. I need a sign and wonder to show me. I need this. It's there. Jesus did it. Just live what Jesus did. Walk in it and use it. And quit letting the devil pull you down with every lie from the pit of hell when Jesus has set you free. If you were in jail and somebody come to bail you out, nobody's going to say, I don't want to be bailed out. No, I'll just stay here. You're going to walk out. You're going to walk out if you've been set free. That's how we are spiritually. We're behind bars when God's removed those bars. Why do we stay there? Why do we let fear, discouragement, and especially condemnation? That's the biggest thing that we use against Christians is condemnation, guiltiness for all we've done. Church, if you want to think you got to be perfect to get to heaven, nobody's going. If you think you got to be perfect to serve God, nobody will serve. We are not perfect at all by the flesh, but we have been made perfect in the Spirit by the grace of Jesus. And when he sees us, he doesn't see all the past. He doesn't see all the junk. He sees the redeemed. I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed because I placed my faith. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever shall believe in what I've done shall have everlasting life. We're not going to perish, but have everlasting life. For I did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through me might be saved. He didn't come, church. People condemn us. God doesn't. God forgives us. That's who he is. That's why he came, to set us free. Free from what? Free from the law and the sin that stood in our way. Free from us gaining a position in his kingdom. We couldn't get that position on our own merit. So he had to pay a price that we could have that position. And now we do. And now we have it. Now we can rest in it and walk in it and believe in it. That Jesus is my Lord. Not just when I act good. I mean, some of you would think, you've been taught this way, that Melanie's road rage, if the trumpet has sounded, I mean, here, imagine this. Melanie's going on the road, all right? She's driving. She's going, doo-doo-doo, here comes the Lord. I mean, really? She'd be lost? Because if we want to get technical, that's not very Christ-like. I mean, doesn't Jesus say, turn the other cheek? I forgive you, man, for almost killing me. Peace go with you. I mean, that would have been the Christian thing to do, right? She was hot for half the day. I mean, I had to take her and get her something to eat to calm her down. But I know it did, baby. It scared her. But we had that mentality that somehow our position in God's kingdom is changed because we make a mistake. If my position in kingdom was changed by my mistakes, I can never be sure I was there to begin with. And then I don't really have faith in God anymore and what he did. I have faith in me, what I can do. Isn't that really what it comes down to? I mean, I want you to really process this. If we believe that our works change our position in the kingdom, then we're not placing faith in what Christ did anymore. We're placing it in us and what we do. Well, I live right, I'm going to heaven. You live wrong, you're going to hell. That's us, not Christ anymore. The Bible says that by only one name can men be saved. One name. Jesus. We're going to make a lot of mistakes, but when we know that we're loved even through our mistakes, it gives us a sense of purpose to live for God. Because God still loves me. God, you're not going to kick me out. Once again, some of us as parents, maybe you've had to kick your kids out or they left or whatever. Aren't you glad God doesn't kick us out? He didn't kick us out for us being stupid. He knows we're going to be stupid because he understands the war. I love what Paul says. I love what Paul says. And I love Paul. Rodney's a Peter man, I'm a Paul man. I like Peter too. He was kind of hot-tempered. But Paul, he was a man that was bad. Ran to accuse those that followed the Lord. He hated Christians. And then God changed him. God came to set him free, to break that captivity in his life. And Paul said in one place, says, I love where he says, talking about the battle of the flesh. He says, the things that I desire to do spiritually, I don't always do because the flesh gets in the way. Now, if Paul battled, to me, Paul's one of the greatest sellouts for God in the Bible, right? He didn't marry, and he got stoned several times and thrown in prison several times and beaten several times and started the most church of the New Testament we read about. Paul was a sellout for God. He sold out everything, and he paid a price for his sellout. But even in, as close to God as he was, he says, what I want to do, I don't always do. I battle. You know what this tells me? This tells me Paul sinned. This tells me Paul probably did some things wrong in his journey with God that he shouldn't have done. It tells me maybe he went to a nightclub in Jerusalem, rode his camel up in there, went to a little harem of women, took one home one night. I don't know, but I know he didn't always live right. He battled. He was a man. And so we read these stories. Look at Samson. Look at David. Look at, Samson, bless his heart, was a judge of Israel, anointed to be a Nazarene. He broke every rule he was given. Don't drink no strong drink. He loved his liquor. Don't touch no dead thing. Went right to a carcass of a lion. And don't sleep with no wrong women. Oh, he slept with all the wrong women. He got a buzz haircut because of it. His locks were gone because he couldn't let go of the women. But you know what? God still used him. He was still God's child. And he's mentioned in Hebrews as one of the heroes of faith. He had shortcomings. King David. David. Think about this. Now, David's story kind of baffles me because he already had all these hundreds of women, right? How many you need? He sees Bathsheba, a married woman. He wanted her. What drew him to her, I don't know. He had plenty of women. But somehow, this woman particularly drew David's eyes. He began to look upon her, lust for her, and that lust manifested into adultery. And not only did he sleep with a married woman, but he had her husband killed in the battlefield. So he became an adulterer and a murderer, deceiver. But then when the prophet came to him and pointed out his sin, David's response was, I have sinned against God. I know where King David's at. He's in the presence of God. Samson's in the presence of God. Paul's in the presence of God. Peter, who denied Christ 3 times, he's in the presence of God. I mean, think about that. He denied Christ 3 times. For you religious people, that'd be like, man, you denied God. You blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. He ain't there, but we know he's there. Jesus came to pay a price for us because we can never meet the qualifications of going to heaven. None of us. We can't do it. Because each one of us have our little issues. Some are bigger than others in people's eyes, but they're all the same in God's eyes. There's no big sin and little sin. It's just sin. period. And it's that sin that separated us from God, but Jesus came to set us free. So don't let that sin no longer be the plague that keeps you bound. Understand, you have been set free from the burden and the penalty of sin. You don't have to be discouraged. You don't have to walk in fear. You don't have to walk in shame. You don't have to be ashamed of your past. God has set you free and forgiven you. Walk as children of the light. No more children of darkness. Walk as God called you to walk. You are His special seed. And church, His love for you is His love is not conditioned on how you behave. He loves you unconditionally. That's what makes the miracle of Jesus the miracle of Jesus. That He doesn't love us by how we behave. We're His creation. Go to the next scripture, Jeremy. Matthew 11:28, very familiar passage to you. This is Jesus speaking. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're heavy burden. Heavy with what? Heavy with the cares of life. Heavy with pain. Heavy with struggle. Heavy with bad thoughts. Heavy with guilt. Whatever you're heavy with, you're just tired. You're tired of carrying it. You're tired of trying to do it on your own. And we're in a generation of such independence that we think we can do it ourselves, you know. No, we can't. We must lean on the arm of God. We can't do this ourselves. We're not that strong. We need a healer. We need a deliverer. We need a provider. We need a protector. We need a savior. We can't do this by ourselves. He says, if you're heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. Oh, think about rest, how nice rest is. When we think of rest, when I think of rest, you know, everybody, even if you don't like it necessarily, we all think of a picture on the beach, right? On the beach, doing nothing but laying there. The sun rays are hitting you. The breeze is blowing. The salt air filling your lungs. Oh, the water petting the sharks. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Nothing like laying on the beach. You know, there's beer commercials, right? The Corona commercials where they're on the hammock and, whatever. Relax. We think of, there's nothing better. We went to the beach back a few couple months ago. It was one of the greatest times I had in a while because I relaxed a lot more than usual during the day. I just relaxed, laid by the pool, getting my golden bronze on. It was incredible. I just rested and just, it was just so nice. There's nothing like rest. How many of you take a Sunday afternoon nap normally? How many of you take a nap every day? Okay, several. Don't you love that nap? You know, when I was a kid growing up, our house didn't have central air at that time. We had the window units. Y'all remember window units? Michael, you don't know what a window unit is, do you? Do you know what a window unit is? It's the square that you put in a window and have controls on it. All right. So, Mom and Dad had two window units in our house when I was a little boy. They had one in the main part of the house, and they had one in their bedroom. And, man, I remember in the summertime, I would love to go in there. That thing would be cranked on. Of course, Dad didn't know it. He was at work. That thing would be cranked on, and I would get in my parent. Nothing like your parents' bed when you're a kid, right? I know Ash talks about that. She comes in our room. Oh, I love your bed. We just got her a new bed. I mean, really? I love your. Something about your parents' bed, right? Just, I don't know, you're a kid. It just feels different. And I would get in my parents' bed and turn that air conditioner be blowing right over my head. That would be cold in that room and getting them covers. And you could go out like a light. You know, I mean, I could do Melanie kind of napping. Because here's Melanie. I mean, it's that instant. It's scary. There have been times I went to bed together and we'll just lay down. I'll be saying something to her. And I hear, snore. I just said, you're already asleep. Are you kidding me? Good gosh. And that's non-medicated. I mean, if she was medicated, it'd be before she took anything. She's just out. But there's nothing like that rest. I'd go to my parents' room and cover up and the air be on. And it was the best sleep I ever had. Oh, it was so refreshing. Do you know spiritually we can have that same kind of rest in God? Do we can just Not worry. You know, the old little weasel in Lion King had something going on, didn't he? Hakuna Matata. No worries for the rest of your days. I mean, they were just happy in the little jungle, eating the snails and the worms. Not a care in the world. No kingdom to run. No responsibility. Like a lot of people in this generation. Just, you know, Hakuna Matata. But man, really think about that. Spiritually, that's what we should be doing. Hakuna Matata. No worries, God. No cares for the rest of my days. Because you are Jesus. Shed the blood for me. And I'm going to heaven one day. Oomba, oomba, oomba. I just think that'd be awesome. I mean, that's how we should feel. We should embrace that mentality. No worries, God. You've got this. Why am I worried about who blows who up? I'm in you. Why am I worried about tomorrow? As Rodney said last week, I think it was Rodney talking about how the birds don't go out trying to find work. They don't go out trying to figure out how they're going to eat. They are just by nature designed to expect and receive from their Creator. We should be the same way. Lord, I expect and receive from my Creator every day what I need. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to receive the joy I need, the peace I need, the direction I need for my life. I'm going to receive it every day. That's what I desire. And God, you're my Creator. If you take care of those robins out there and those rabbits and those squirrels and the old ugly possum that crossed the road at night, ugliest animal in the world, the possum. I mean, God made it, so no threat, God. I'm just saying, that's a creepy-looking animal. And God provides. God provides for His creation. How much more has He provided for us? He gave us a ransom. He paid the ransom that we owed and says, no more do you stand guilty before my throne, but you are innocent because of my blood. I have acquitted you by my blood. Man, that's good news. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So many tormenting souls, right? It was said about Elvis Presley, he was a very tormented man because Elvis was raised with a great spiritual foundation. And, you know, he ran from that to fulfill his destiny. And he was never satisfied. I think he was never truly happy, though he had millions and though he had millions of women and still got women to follow him and still got women that think he's alive. And, I mean, he's like a god in the earth. I mean, he was the king, right? Rock and roll, so to speak. But yet he was unfulfilled. Died at a young age, really unfulfilled. We find out money and fame and women and all the stuff that we think may fill our lives don't. Because there's a spot reserved in here for God. And if we don't fill that with God, we fill it with things that don't satisfy. And so I felt sorry for his life because I always felt he had a pull. Always a pull. It was almost like he couldn't get away from who he was because of who he was. But he knew he wasn't who he's supposed to really be. What a struggle that must be. And maybe you're there and you're, you know, God's calling you to a certain place and you know that's where you're supposed to be, but there's such a struggle of who you are now. Let God set you free. He already has set you free. Receive what he has done for you and let you be free in what he has done. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why the burden following Christ is light? He did all the work. He's done all the work already. Think about that. We don't have to try to work. And we see all these religious groups and sects that work. The more doors they knock on, the more heaven they'll gain. The more souls they lead to God, the more this. And, you know, they try to work their way into heaven. That's a hard burden. But it's easy when you know God done the work. Ain't it easy? Remember the Andy Griffith episode where Andy's got that handyman there? I think he likes Aunt B. He's a lazy bum. He said, can you paint the porch and put the shingles in the roof? He said, well, my back's hurt. Can you carry them up for me, Andy? He's carrying them shingles up, and that guy's sitting there, and Aunt B. brings lemonade out, and Andy, the other bum, gets it. Oh, thank you. He ain't done a thing. Of course he's feeling good. He ain't done nothing. That's kind of what we got to realize, church. We can't do anything at all to add to what Christ has done for us. He done all the work so we can just enjoy the fruits of that work. Enjoy the fruits of what he has accomplished. Go to one more scripture and we'll close out. This is John 8:31. Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed." This is Jesus talking here in 32. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Hold it right there a minute, Jeremy. "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, he's talking to Jewish people at this point, and they're going to argue with Jesus here in the next couple of verses, but he makes a great point. The first thing he establishes is, when you know the truth, it'll make you free. You know what this implies to the Jewish listeners? They weren't free yet. You're not free. Go to the next verse. "They answered him and said, 'We be of Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage to any man. How sayest you can make us free?'" They were relying on their natural heritage. They were relying on their family lineage. They're saying, "We're Abraham's seed. What do you mean we're not free? I don't understand what you're saying, Lord." Look what he says. "Jesus said, 'I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever.'" Now, as I was reading this, we've heard this verse, you know, through the years. But God really, I feel like, gave me revelation on this. If sin is in our lives, I'm not talking about the things we do wrong, I'm talking about the sin nature is in our lives, then that keeps us out of the house of God. We're a servant to that sin. We can't get there. The Bible's clear that sin separates us, and we can't inherit the kingdom unless that sin's been forgiven, that sin nature's been removed. So look what he says here. "The Son abideth forever, and if the Son shall make you free, then you'll really be free indeed." Because, see, Jesus was removing that sin that kept us out of the kingdom. And he says, just because you're Abraham's seed, guess what? That don't mean you saved. Just because you're a Catholic, don't mean you saved. Because you're a Pentecostal, don't mean you're saved. Because you're a Southern Baptist, don't mean you're saved. Because you're related to Billy Graham, don't mean you're saved. You're not saved by your heritage. Yes, you're Abraham's seed, but guess what? The law still stands in front of you. And until the law is removed, you're still in your sin. And I've come to remove the law and pay for it that you couldn't pay for it, so that you could abide in the house forever with me. I come to set you free. I mean, we can try to live by all the commandments, each one that we want, and we should live our lives for God. But understand, those commandments isn't what sets us free. It's what Jesus did when he said, "It is finished." That's what set us free. Jesus telling his Jewish readers, his listeners, I mean, "Look, I know you're the heir of Abraham, but you're not really free yet. You're not really been set free." They were kind of like on, probation. You know, when you're on probation, and you know, you ain't got any mammy in here, but some of you know what I'm talking about. When you're on probation, you're not really free, right? I mean, you're not in jail, but you're not really free. Because you got 6 months, 12 months, you know, 24, whatever you got to serve on that probation, and they come visit you, and they drug test you, and they make sure you're not getting any trouble. That's not freedom. That's still bondage. You might not be behind bars, but you sure ain't free. You're not free to that PO comes and says, "Okay, we're done." You know, the judge says, "Record clear, no more probation." Then you can do your happy dance. I don't know if people do happy dances on probation. They're still not free. These Abraham seed people were like on probation. They really weren't free. They weren't in jail. They had a plan. God had a plan. They were God's people, but they weren't really free yet. And Jesus says, "I'm going to come, and I'm going to set you free. And when I do what I'm going to do, then you'll really be free. You'll be free. Doesn't matter your Abraham's seed. That has no bearing on it. Doesn't matter who your daddy is, who your mom is. Don't matter what church you belong to. Don't matter what denomination you were raised in. If you're out of me, you're not free." And so we've got to get past the stigma of the church and the denomination and the preacher and this and this. I mean, it's very clear what the Bible says. If you believe in me only, then you will be saved. Those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Know the name given unto men whereby we must be saved. Jesus came to set us free. You don't have to live no more the way you are, because Jesus has made a way out. Think about this. None of us would stay in bondage financially if somebody paid our, if somebody come offering me, hey, Pastor, I want to pay all your debt off. What do you think I'm going to say?
I'm too humble to take that. I'm a man of God. Give it to Carrie. She needs it more.
Heck to the no. Make it to James Lewis Sr., please. Make sure it says Sr., S-R, Sr. And I know the banks are open today, but I've got a connection. Give it to me. I'll go today and get it. I'll make sure I get it cashed, and yes, thank you. I'll pay all this debt off. I mean, I'd be like a little girl won the prom queen, right? Really? Yeah. I'll take it. Yes, right now. Yes. Why would I refuse that? Heck yeah, somebody gonna pay my debt off. Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My ship has come in. Glory. And it ain't the cruise ship. Believe it. Did you hear about the Carnival ship that caught on fire? Oh, my gosh. Thing caught on fire at dock. Had to fly people back home out of the port. Oh, my. I am done. There ain't no way. Unless I can walk on water, I ain't going back on water. I'm telling you that right now. I'm like, what if that thing had caught on fire out in the water? Oh, my. Can you imagine how scary that would have been? Lord have mercy. Right. And I'm never going to leave him either, forsake him. Yeah, that's true. That is true. Church, leave free today, man. Leave free. Don't keep carrying stuff God has set you free from. He came to make things right in your life. So just, 1 Peter 5 says to cast all your burden upon him, for he careth for you. Give it to him. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He wants that because he took that for you. Is Chuck going to come up here and do a closeout song? Okay. I know he talked about it. Whatever you're battling today, church, let God have it. Give it to him. Say, you know what, God? I'm going to leave it in this place today. I'm not taking out these doors with me. Chuck, y'all come on up, brother. Get ready. I want you to let God have it. Let him have it. Because you weren't meant to carry that. You know, if we understood the power of what really happened at Calvary, it was much more, much deeper than a gruesome, bloody scene that we've seen on TV. Church, our redemption was bought with that blood. On the cross, he took my place. He set me free. I'm redeemed because of that blood. I'm reconciled back to God. The Bible says those that he calls, he justifies, he glorifies, he sanctifies. That's us. Not by anything I've ever done, but by who he is. So don't leave here the same. Play a little something just soft on that if you would for me. I'm going to have you just stand up with me if you would before we do our offering. And someone say a prayer. Lord, I pray this morning that we let these chains fall off our lives today. Whatever we are carrying, whatever we are burdened with, we realize you pay the price, Jesus. That we don't have to let guilt chase us down no more. We don't have to look in the mirror and look at all of our faults and failures, because God, you paid the price for that. It is finished. It is over. No more faults and failures. No more pain. No more guilt. No more shame. You have set us free. Let us leave here, God, free today, free to enjoy the fruits of what you have accomplished for us, free to praise you with a clean heart and a pure conscience, knowing you have purged our conscience by your very blood, and that we are changed and we are different. We are not the same man in the mirror we were years ago. We have been set free by the cross, set free. I pray for people in here today, Lord, that are carrying discouragement, oppression, guilt, and shame, that they realize how much you love them, that nothing can change what they have done in the past, but you have erased what they have done in the past forever by the one appointment at Calvary. And they can leave here knowing they are beloved of you, Lord. If they will believe in what you have done for them, if people in this building right now will just believe, Jesus, yes, you paid my price. You removed my sin. You've cast as far as the east is from the west. You have made me white as snow. If they will just believe that, we will leave here transformed by that love and that mercy you've shown us. I pray, God, for the oppressive spirit to be gone and to be lifted off of this place. For fear, for anxiety, for worry, for stress that we are carrying every day. Let us not stress over tomorrow. You hold tomorrow in your hand, God. I just pray that be lifted off this place, that we leave here knowing we are restored and redeemed by what you have done, that we will leave full of joy, peace, and power this day, knowing, God, you hold our future, forgiving our past and have sealed our future by your redemptive plan. I pray for those in here that are battling sickness in their bodies. I pray for healing, Lord, right now. Let your virtue flow. Let healing grace flow to heal and touch the afflicted body, the afflicted flesh. Lord, I pray for the tormented mind right now that stays tormented right now, just tormented by demonic oppression, demonic influence. I pray that mind, that demonic spirits be cast out, lifted off those minds, and that you restore those minds to only dwell on the things from above and not on the things from beneath. I pray for homes as the enemy's trying to divide marriages, divide children, divide homes. I pray for peace, reconciliation in those homes, that God, you bridge that gap that's trying to separate and destroy, and that you bring unity to families again and strength to the family unit. I pray for strongholds in this place, for vices, for addictions, whatever the issue is. I pray strongholds be broken. They be broken by your name, by your power, by your hand. That they don't have to live that way no more. Realizing you paid the price, that strongholds can be broken, that the captive can be set free, no longer in prison by what the devil tells them, but set free by what Jesus did for them. In the name of Jesus, just let this place be glorified with your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we give you praise and thanks for it, God, that you have, not will, not going to, you have already set us free. Thank you for that in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.